Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
All right, welcome to the Tennis.com podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Nina Pantic, recording in Delray Beach with Irina Falcone. Irina, what's up?
Hey guys, how's it going?
And I'm joined here in Delray with Pat Cash.
Hello, good morning.
It is awesome to have Pat here. We're, as I said, we're in Delray Beach recording at the ATP 250 event. And Pat, it's hard not to start with the most obvious. What brings you here?
Well, the beautiful Florida weather. I decided to leave the perfect Australian summer and come here to Florida. I just like the beaches. So it happens to be a tennis tournament on here at the same time, ATP tournament. I'm doing a little bit of work with Brandon Nakashima, and a consultant at this stage. And he's we were supposed to be in California, but he ended up getting the wild card here. So I flew from Brisbane to Florida to here, Fort Lauderdale, losing my passport along the way. It's been quite an adventurous 48 hours. Arrived, watched Brandon play, win his first round. So that was and I slept very, very well last night.
You sound very casual about that. I would be freaking out if I lost my passport. So tell me how you're just not panicking right now.
I was sort of panicking. So I've got dual citizenship. So my mum's American. So I've had a US passport. And I was lucky that I had the two passports. Not that I could get in on the Australian one. You're not allowed to. If you're a US citizen, you can only come in on a US passport. But because I had the Australian passport, it's sort of like real proof that who you are. And at the airport in Brisbane, when I was digging through my bag, I literally broke out into a sweat and was dripping with sweat as I'm looking through my carry-on bag, which is always there. It's always there. I'm like, where the hell is my passport? And I said, listen, I lost my passport. And they said, well, we'll talk to US Immigration. And they said, I had the number, I had a photo of it on my phone and on my computer, and they checked it and they said, yeah, can you confirm this is who it is? Because it could be just somebody saying. And they said, well, I've got his Australian passport and it says as the same details. So, yes, it's the same person. I said, all right, let him on. We'll lock him up for a while when we get to LA and check him out. And so they did that. But the interesting thing was, well, as I was flying, we didn't know if Brandon was playing on Monday or Tuesday and whether I was going to stay in LA or hop straight on the red eye and get over here. So I'm locked in this room and not allowed to use your phone, so I couldn't check with anybody, and I'm just thinking, I know my flight could be in any moment. And so it was just time was ticking away, and then finally they just released me. Got outside, turned on the phone, they said, oh, your flight's in about 3 hours. So I was like, oh, okay. And I made it.
You made
there
it.
There you go.
A red eye to Delray, yeah. And you watched Brandon win his first ATP match ever. But my biggest question, don't they know who Pat Cash is? Can they just Google you and be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, that doesn't work.
Go ahead.
That doesn't work that way. You, you've got to have all the, you Americans do things slightly differently.
Yeah,
I mean,
the anxiety of losing your passport, I can't even imagine. But you made it here, wow. And you're doing a little bit of coaching. In this case, you're kind of more advising. Did he reach out to you, or did his coach Bo reach out to you? How did this kind of impromptu situation unfold?
It was through mutual friends, really. They contacted me and said, hey, listen, you got to work with this kid. And I'm like, oh, okay, who is he? They told me, hey, this kid's really, he's really dedicated, he's a good player, he's a good junior. And I said, okay, well, I'm interested. Having sort of worked on the WTA tour with Coco Vandeweghe for a couple of years, I was interested to get a young player. I worked with Alexei Popperin last year for the grass court season, and that was that. He did really well there. That worked really, really well. And I think it's tens that you can sort of influence, I suppose, a younger player, slightly better, where their game is not it's not set, I suppose, and that's not a bad thing. So you can change some technical things, and so I did that with Alexi with pretty good success, actually. I think that worked really well for everybody, and I thought, well, this is probably where I want to go as a coach for many years in an academy. I like working with younger players, and not that I don't like working with older players as well, but I think there's more room for improvement in those sort of players. So you know, I did my homework, as you got to do. And I said, okay, found out who he was. I talked to the USTA. I talked to his former coaches and said, hey, is this kid, what is this kid? You know, is he any good? Has he got chance? What's his weaknesses? What's his strengths? And as I showed Brandon, I had a list. When I first sat down and chatted with him, I talked with his mum. I talked with, you know, everybody, really, to say, okay, what's the deal here? Because he's a young player, and, you know, he's just getting onto the circuit. And, you know, he hasn't got the funds to, and this is the tricky thing, you know, with academies and young players, they don't have the funds to hire a name coach. So, you know, it's a gamble for both sides, and all the reports were that he's very, very good and very dedicated. So I started watching all these matches on video, live from London and from Australia, and just doing all the research and making notes. And I showed him the notes yesterday. He just looked at me and went, are you kidding me? You know, it's the first time we've actually met yesterday. But I've got the whole game plan all lined up for him. And we sat down and we talked a little bit through the match. I had the stats already. I had everything ready for him. And I think he sort of thought, wow, is this how it's supposed to be? And yesterday we sat down and said, yeah, this is the way it's got to be. Okay. That bacon you had for breakfast and that sausage yesterday and the muffin, finished. That's the last time you had that before you play a match. You know, and he's just sort of looking at me going, and the stretches you were doing? Right, you can do them properly today. So you know, that's part of being professional. That's sort of part of my job, is to professionalize him. And he's got a raw talent, that's for sure.
Yeah, I feel like I have like 10 questions after listening to that spiel. Wow. I guess first question, do you feel like you have a preference working with males or females more?
No, not at all. I think if I'm really honest, I think the men is a longer, I'd say potentially a longer lead up time to being successful. So, I think there is room for some talented girls who, you know, can run hot. And we've seen that in the last couple of years where, you know, Osaka's come through, Andreescu's come through, you know, Kennan's come through. You know, so there's room to all of a sudden you run hot and after, you know, being on the circuit for a year or a couple of years where you can be successful. I think that's very, very highly unlikely to happen in the men. Very unlikely. And I can't possibly see it. I think it's a 2-3-4 year plan, and so there's pluses and minuses with that. The exciting thing is if you get a player, a female player in form, then you know exciting things can happen instantly. But in the men, there's going to be a lot of setbacks, and you've just got to be, hey, it's going to take a long time before you develop your strength to match it with Rafa Nadal. I mean, that's the bottom line. You got to play. You know, I said, Brandon, you're out there. You got to play against Rafa. Do you think you can beat him from the back of the court? And he goes, well, no, not really. Okay, then well, we're going to learn, find a way to do other things in your game, you know. Are you willing to get into the net and learn the other sorts of things? And he's like, yeah, I'm cool. Let's do it. So, you know, that's the reality. He is here in the pros, and he may draw Rafa Nadal let's say he gets a wild card, does well here, gets a wild card, Indian Wells. He's got Roger Federer, Rafa Nadal first round, okay. Now the learning really starts. But you know, let's have a game plan towards building that you can beat these guys. That's the benchmark is outrageous. So you know, not to say that it's not, you know, you've got Serena Williams still out there playing, so that's outrageous. So as well, but there I think you can. I think there is a little bit more room for quicker success. I wouldn't say instant success in the WTA Tour.
There's something exciting, though, about Brandon, so because of how young he is. Not going to lie, I haven't really heard of him. I don't know, Irina, if you have. But I did some stalking, and he only played 1 year at UVA and then turned pro. I mean, that takes some balls.
One semester, yeah. There's an amazing amount of talent out here in the US, and it's great to see it coming through because it's we need US players coming out. You know, over the years when I first on the circuit, the circuit was really split between Europe and the US. So you used to come over here, players wouldn't have to leave until, you know, go to the French Open, go to Wimbledon, that's it, and come back to the US and make their career out of the tournaments, which are all big, big tournaments. And over the years, we've seen them drop off bit by bit by bit by bit. And, you know, to have these good players come through is really regenerating what is, you know, important, a giant part of the tennis circuit is the US circuit. So it's great to see the girls doing well and the guys doing well, and you know, even north of the border, the Canadians doing well. That's another good thing. So it's only a good thing. We're a bit sick of the Europeans dominating, huh? So good on Ash Barty coming through. We like that. Good on Sophia Kennan to coming through. So you know, it's really exciting that we have a world circuit, not just the European circuit.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
Hi everyone, you're listening to the Tennis.com podcast with special guest Pat Cash. We're catching up with the Australian on what he's been up to over the past few months and who he's working with. Keep listening.
I guess I just wanted to continue talking about Brandon a little bit. Like you said, and properly self-claimed, I mean, you are a name coach. I mean, you have one of the biggest names in tennis, I think.
Still needs a passport, but yes.
Still needs a passport. But I just want to know, I mean, you did an interview process almost with Brandon, and you researched him, you wanted to get information on him. Is there something that you're looking for or something that you need to kind of go over that step and be like, okay, I do want to work with him. I think there's something there. Is there something you look for?
I think, first of all, dedication, motivation, and that's why I was checking with the coach. You know, mum can say whatever she likes. Yeah, he's really keen. Okay, whatever. I want to see it. I want to hear from other people. Is he willing to work? Is he willing to listen? And, you know, that's important. And do you want to be as good as you possibly can be? Look, I've got ideas. I think I've got a lot of very good ideas. I think I've got a general knowledge of having been through so many injuries myself and fitness and, you know, I think a lot of the coaches from the sort of 80s, 90s, where they saw the change in the game, have a lot of good knowledge. Ivan Lendl is a classic, you know, example. I think he's, you know, he'd be very good. Lindsay Davenport, you know, these people who almost came from wooden rackets and saw all the changes and have the ideas and can see, you know, these sorts of things. But, you know, so dedication was really important. What was interesting is, you know, I was getting messages from, hey, he won this match, here's the video. I'm not really interested in winning the matches. I want to see him losing matches. When you're in form, everything looks great. You know, you hit, your weakness looks good. You don't make any mistakes. It's when you're losing that I want to see. I want to see that, you know, whatever it happens to be, that shot breaking down. And then I want to make some notes and replay it and then obviously see it in real life. And I think I did that very well. Very well with Greg Rusedski, rebuilding his serve. He had a bad toe problem. He couldn't play, and we sort of had to fix that. I worked with a biomechanist who worked with me for many years, rebuilding my career right at the end, though I didn't really get the opportunity to use it that much on the circuit. But I had so many injuries, I had to rebuild my game and my body, and I learned so much from that. So I did that with Greg. I did a little bit with Philip Hoosis, though he had amazing natural talent. But we did it with Coco as well. It's sort of, you know, what elements can we fix up and tidy up that won't break down under pressure? And that's the bottom line. It just, and you know, I said that to Brendan. I said, mate, in my day, we could get away with stuff. I could serve volley on a quick court and protect my forehand. And Stefan Edberg did that too. Just unbelievable. he was just the best. You know that if you hit three balls up high on Stefan Edberg's forehand, that you win the point. Could you get three balls up high on Stefan Edberg's forehand? No chance. he'd be whacking the first one and getting straight in the net, lightning fast, and he'd be hitting the most difficult passing shot there possibly be. You couldn't, and he'd be serve volleying every ball, even on the clay, and he's so good at it. And same thing with McEnroe. You know, you knew that if you get the ball up high on his backhand or his forehand, you'd win the point, but you couldn't get it up there. And so you could find ways to hide your weaknesses. These days, you cannot. And you said to Brandon, mate, you know, you've got to have everything. Not just one thing, but everything. If you'd have something wrong, they'll work you out really quickly. And it was interesting to see his first match here, Vesely, was hitting certain – I said, isn't it amazing that Vesely, when you had that short ball, he ran to that spot every time. He goes, yeah, he did. I said, he's done his homework. He's a professional player. He's probably done the notes. He's probably looked at your matches. He knew where you were going to hit the ball. I said, welcome to the tour. So now you can't hit that ball just there. You've got to be able to hit the ball the other way. So, you know, you've got to have everything. And it's not easy. I mean, we've picked the toughest sport in the world to be professionals at. I mean, it is the toughest sport in the world, without a doubt. And so you've got to try and have everything and cover every aspect as well as you possibly can.
I can't believe this 18-year-old kid is sitting around getting lessons and tips from someone who won Wimbledon and has played against, like, Yvonne Lendl and Stefan. He doesn't even understand. He's 18. He doesn't even understand what this is.
He's sort of looking in amazement as the oldies around here. Oh, should I say that? The older fans around here coming up to me. He's sort of like, what?
He's like, who is this?
Yeah, he was definitely not born.
He probably Googled you. He for sure was like, let me Google this guy.
Maybe.
He's probably like, why is he wearing a checkered bandana all the time?
Yeah, I don't think he hasn't seen it yet. Oh. He hasn't seen it in real life. So.
How do you
in half an hour.
How do you explain that fashion statement?
I don't know exactly how to explain it. I suppose.
A signature look.
Yeah, it was something different. Back in those days, we didn't have bandanas. We just had sort of these headbands, you know, you used to put on, and they're always one color. Borgs had a bit of a stripe to it, which I thought was pretty cool. You know, those beautiful filler clothes that were really nicely designed. And I just thought I'd do something a bit of fun, a bit of rock and roll, get a bandana. I kind of liked, you know, I was a fan of hard rock and rock and roll stuff. And I thought, let's do something a bit different. I wasn't going to wear spandex out there on the court, but I got a headband anyway.
Level of creativity.
Okay.
Fluoro spandex.
So clearly you're known as the bandana legend. And what more is there to Pat Cash? What do you do free time? What are some hobbies that, you know, the common person probably doesn't know about?
I talked about my music. So music is my number one hobby, really, listening to all sorts of stuff, all basically guitar-orientated stuff. So anywhere from blues to hard rock to prog rock to that sort of stuff. I don't go near country and western, I've got to be honest, though there are some pretty cool US bands that do it really well, sort of bluesy country sort of stuff. Blackberry Smoke is one of them, and Whiskey Myers is another one. Gee, they're good bands. Fantastic. Anyway, something to check out. But the main, most of my spare time is done with charity work. So I've got several charities that I've funded and work with, again, a lot with kids, children, and youth, but not exclusively. Men's Cancer as well is a big charity in the UK that I do stuff with. But, I was just reflecting on that. It tends to be gravitating towards youth and helping young underprivileged kids, Indigenous kids in Australia, Aboriginal kids, the very poorest of the poor in the world. It's hard to believe that, you know, they could be, when you're looking at Indigenous kids in Australia, you're almost looking at, you're thinking of Africa with no water, no electricity, that sort of stuff. It's most Australians don't even know how bad it is, let alone international people, and how much racism is in Australia is absolutely phenomenal. It's mind-boggling. It's breaking down slowly, but it's quite tragic. And if anybody wants to, yes, actually, you might be able to get a movie soon. I think it's out at the moment, but it's called In My Blood It Runs, which is what my charity. I followed an Indigenous kid for a couple of years in the Northern Territory in Alice Springs. It's called. It's pretty much the middle of the desert. Absolutely fascinating. So if you want to get a snapshot into what Australian Indigenous communities are all about, In My Blood It Runs. So hopefully you'll be able to get it on Netflix or something soon.
Surely.
Yeah.
That sounds interesting.
It's really, really interesting. Even though I knew a lot about it, even then it was just like, wow. And he's one of the lucky kids. He was one of the lucky kids who had really good parents or grandparents. So, yeah, and it's an interesting thing. Anyway.
I mean, you have the name and the influence and the ability to do anything kind of you want. You even have 54,000 Twitter followers. How often do you think about this? Anything you say? 54,000?
Yeah, how'd you get really, there? I've been constantly. No, really. I've constantly been told I have to do more. My son went to college in University of Florida. He was a Gator, and he came out with a marketing degree and whatever, and said, "Right, Dad, you got to do this and do that." And I'm like, "Oh, duh. How do you tweet? How do you tweet?"
You're like, "I've made it already. I'm good."
I'm like, "You know," but it's I'm pretty poor like that. I got to be honest. It's not something that really interests me. Social media, to be honest, but I know it's a way of the future, and I think I got something to offer for particularly older people with health and that sort of stuff, and people who are interested in. I suppose I'm out of the box in my thinking, and it's a bit. Some people think it's a bit weird, but it's I do a lot of researching and stuff on diet and all that and all that sort of stuff, and I've. Just come back from a back surgery, just over three months. I was told I wouldn't be able to play, sort of run around probably until about 3 months, but I played the Australian Open Legends after 11 weeks. And I really experimented on my body. And you can go back and have a look through that Instagram, a little few things that I did. But some of the things that I could do, it's the pro players can't do. I mean, I could take injections of all sorts of stuff. And I kind of, not dangerous, but I could do that sort of stuff and just to see. I'm old now. I'm not going to get drug tested. Not that there's dangerous stuff, as I said, but I could experiment. And oh my God, I was just watching my legs grow and my stomach, my muscles grow, my back muscles grow daily. Maybe it's like, holy smoke, this is amazing. No wonder Lance Armstrong cheated. I mean, why wouldn't you?
The miracle of medicine.
No wonder it's illegal.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, listeners, this is the Tennis.com podcast with former world number 4, Pat Cash. He tells us exactly what he looks for when he starts working with a new player. Keep listening.
So you talked a little bit about the crazy things that you did, and you talked a little bit about diet and, being in the gym and stuff. What specifically did you do with your diet, if anything? Did you do the whole vegan trend? Have you watched Game Changers? I know that's what everyone's talking about at the moment. It's plant-based. Just curious what your diet consisted of in those 3 months that you were rehabbing.
Yeah. Well, my diet has been leaning towards a ketogenic diet for a while, but it's not completely fully. I believe in the good oils, but I'm a meat eater. I've sort of followed the it was trend back a good 15 years ago, eat right for your blood type. I don't know, you guys probably don't remember that trend. Based on your blood type and your stomach and your blood type, you can have certain things that are beneficial towards to you. And A blood types are a lot of Orientals or Asian people, and that's more vegetarian. And you don't, no surprise that's where the soya milk comes from, and a lot of soya products come from. The old saying, you used to hear that, if you eat a steak, it sits in your stomach for 3 days, 4 days. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's heard that one. Yeah, if you're an A type, if you're more lean toward a vegetarian, yeah, it will sit there because your stomach acid's not going to digest the meat. But I don't eat that. My meat is going less and less all the time. But, the ketogenic supplements, the good ones, are really, really good. So that'll be in my bottle every time I walk on the tennis court. I think the best company is a company called Prove It. I think they're really cutting edge.
I'm taking their ketones as we speak, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I really do believe that's the way of the future. For every athlete should be taking that. There's no doubts about that. But the only thing is they don't, because they keep changing their formulas, they don't have, sports-informed, certificates. So they cannot guarantee, though, having talked to, to all the people there, they say they are, our factories are absolutely clean, would never put anything in there. But we keep adding certain things to it that are not performance enhancing, not illegal. And our athletes take them, but we cannot put a stamp on it because next month we add something else in it. That's the problem. But I believe that they are clean, but they cannot 100% guarantee it. But yeah.
When I was asking someone about it, and I was like, first things first, is this legal? Like, am I going to get tested or anything? So we made sure to reach out to the WTA, and they sent us a certificate pretty much saying that all is good, you're good to go.
Yeah. This is stuff I never think about. And now you don't have to either. You're free.
Yeah, I could tell you whatever I wanted. Whatever really, you want. But
I want to be respectful of your time. So let's finish up here with just a look ahead. So, you know, you're here with Brandon, but you're not the official coach. You're kind of advising. What do you just kind of work with him a little bit or go to the tournament or go home or what happens next?
Well, being a typical Aussie, I'm on the road a lot. Sort of how we grew up. So this is my seventh week on the road. I'm pretty keen to get home to see if I still got a girlfriend there.
Home is London, right?
Yeah, London. Yep. Yeah. She might have left. So we'll see if this place is empty or not. I think this might be funny to you. we were supposed to be training this week and then implement everything next week in Calgary where he was going to play a tournament. So we'll see if we go that way or not. But, you know, the idea was to make a bit of a game plan for him to follow, whether we follow that up again in future weeks and come to some sort of understanding or agreement, whether he might disagree and think this guy's nuts and we'll move out or go our own separate ways. Hopefully that won't happen, but I like the idea of being a consultant for various players, and I'd certainly definitely be looking at possibly adding a WTA player, which would work. It's hard to work with three or four men players, or three or four women players, but one of each would work, as the conflict is obviously a conflict. We'll see. But at the moment he's very receptive, and we'll just see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah, the name is Brandon Nakashima. You know, who knows? 18 years old, anything could happen. And the fact that he has you in your corner, even for a few weeks, is probably going to be so valuable. So it's great.
Well, we'll hope so. I mean, as I said, anything can happen. I mean, you know, all you need to do is step the wrong way and you twist an ankle and you're out for 6 months. It's a brutal sport out there, you know.
That's just some bleak.
Yeah, that is very tough. Well, we look forward to seeing. Yeah. I know. But I mean, in a sense, though, it's very realistic. It really can happen, whether it's on the court. I remember once I was going outside, sprained my ankle, just walking to my car. So you just never know. But I'm going to knock on wood for Brandon to be okay, along with myself. And we look forward to seeing what you can do in his career and his game. It's awesome.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, as you said, Roger Federer had never been injured, never gets injured, except when he picks his baby out of the bath or something and did his knee. Yeah, so isn't that crazy?
It's a ridiculous
story. All that thousands and thousands of hours that guy's flown around the court and does his knee.
You just never know.
Yeah. And it's a crazy sport. And one of the things that I think is crazy is the fact that we've got a 12-month ranking. So if you're injured, you're out for 6 months, your ranking's gone. I mean, it's okay for Federer, he's going to get wild cards. But, you know, for up-and-coming player, he just starts getting up there. And we see it all the time. We've seen it, see it in a bunch of players out here playing qualies and just getting back onto the tour again. It's just creeping back into the ATP tour. So it's a tough sport out there. There's no guarantees, but, with the right focus, you got a chance.
With the right Pat Cash in your corner, there's a higher chance.
Well, let's see.
Pat. Well, thank you for joining us. I mean, it's been an honor talking with someone who's worked with so many great players and was a Wimbledon champion himself. I mean, casually joining the tennis.com podcast. It's been so great.
Nice. Thank you very much for having me.
From the Tennis Channel Podcast Network, this has been the tennis.com podcast. Be sure to subscribe to stay caught up. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and every major listening app, as well as tennis.com/podcasts. You can also see the videos of our episodes on Tennis Channel's YouTube page and tennis.com's Facebook page. We're your hosts, Nina Pantic and Irina Falcone. We'd like to thank our team, editor and audio designer and video editor Christina Koseva, producers Alexa March and Sean O'Malley, and executive producers Shelby Coleman, Kyle Einhorn, and Andy Chu.